Chapter 5.
Four eventful things happened in the course of the winter. Bert and Mary got married and rented a cottage in the neighborhood three blocks away. Billy's wages were cut, along with the wages of all the Teamsters in Oakland. Billy took up shaving with a safety razor. And, finally, Saxon was proven a false prophet and Sarah a true one. Saxon made up her mind, beyond any doubt, ere she confided the news to Billy. At first, while still suspecting, she had felt a frightened sinking of the heart and fear of the unknown and unexperienced. Then had come economic fear, as she contemplated the increased expense entailed. But by the time she had made surety doubly sure, all was swept away before a wave of passionate gladness. Hers and Billy's. The phrase was continually in her mind, and each recurrent thought of it brought an actual physical pleasure pang to her heart. The night she told the news to Billy, he withheld his own news of the wage cut, and joined with her in welcoming the little one.
"What'll we do?"
"Go to the theater to celebrate," he asked, relaxing the pressure of his embrace so that she might speak. "Or suppose we stay in, just you, and me, and the three of us?" "Stay in," was her verdict. "I just want you to hold me, and hold me, and hold me." "That's what I wanted, too, only I wasn't sure, after being in the house all day, maybe you'd want to go out." There was frost in the air, and Billy brought the Morris chair in by the kitchen stove. She lay cuddled in his arms, her head on his shoulder, his cheek against her hair. "We didn't make no mistake in our lightning marriage, with only a week's courtin'," he reflected aloud. "Why, Saxon, we've been courtin' ever since just the same. And now, my God, Saxon, it's too wonderful to be true. Think of it. Urn. The three of us. The little rascal. I bet he's going to be a boy. And won't I learn, am to put up his fists and take care of himself. And swim in too. If he don't know how to swim by the time he's six. And, if he's a girl." "She's going to be a boy," Billy retorted, joining in the playful misuse of pronouns. And both laughed, and kissed, and sighed with content. "I'm going to turn pincher, now," he announced, after quite an interval of meditation. "No more drinks with the boys. It's me for the water wagon. And I'm going to ease down on smokes. Hut. Don't see why I can't roll my own cigarettes. They're 10 times cheaper than tailor-made's. And I can grow a beard. The amount of money the barbers get out of a fellow in a year would keep a baby. Just you let your beard grow, Mr. Roberts, and I'll get a divorce," Saxon threatened. "You're just too handsome and strong with a smooth face. I love your face too much to have it covered up, oh, you dear. You dear. Billy, I never knew what happiness was until I came to live with you. Nor me neither. And it's always going to be so. You can just bet," he assured her. "I thought I was going to be happy married," she went on, "but I never dreamed it would be like this." She turned her head on his shoulder and kissed his cheek. "Billy, it isn't happiness. It's heaven." And Billy resolutely kept on divulged the cut in wages. Not until 2 weeks later, when it went into effect, and he poured the diminished sum into her lap, did he break it to her. The next day, Bert and Mary, already a month married, had Sunday dinner with them, and the matter came up for discussion. Bert was particularly pessimistic, and muttered dark hints of an impending strike in the railroad shops. "If you'd all shut your traps, it'd be all right," Mary criticized. "These union agitators get the railroad sore. They give me the cramp, the way they button and stir up trouble. If I was boss, I'd cut the wages of any man that listened to them." "Yet you belong to the laundry workers' union," Saxon rebuked gently. "Because I had to, or I wouldn't have got work. And much good it ever done me." "But look happily," Bert argued, "the Teamsters ain't been saying a word, not a peep, and everything lovely. And then, bang, right in the neck, a 10% cut. Oh, hell, what chance have we got? We lose. There's nothing left for us in this country we've made,
and our fathers and mothers, before us. We're all shot to pieces. We can see our finish, we, the old stock, the children of the white people, that broke away from England and licked the Daro Udieher, that freed the slaves, and fought the Indians, and made the West. Any gink with half an eye can see it coming. But what are we going to do about it? Saxon questioned anxiously. Fight. That's all. The country's in the hands of a gang of robbers. Look at the Southern Pacific. It runs California. Oh, rats, Bert, Billy interrupted. You're talking through your lid. No railroad can run the government of California. You're a bonehead, Bert sneered. And someday, when it's too late, you and all the other boneheads realize the fact. Rotten? I tell you it stinks. Why, there ain't a man who wants to go to state legislature, but has to make a trip to San Francisco and go into the S.P. offices and take his hat off and humbly ask permission. Why, the governors of California has been railroad governors since before you and I was born. Hut. You can't tell me. We're finished. We're licked to a frazzle. But it'd do my heart good to help string up some of the dirty thieves before I passed out and know what we are, we old white stock that fought in the wars and broke the land and made all this. I'll tell you. We're the last of the Mohegans. He scares me to death, he's so violent, Mary said with unconcealed hostility. If he don't quit shooting off his mouth, he'll get fired from the shops. And then what'll we do? He don't consider me. But I can tell you one thing, all right, all right. I'll not go back to the laundry. She held her right hand up and spoke with the solemnity of an oath. Not so's you can see it. Never again for yours truly. Oh, I know what you're driving at, Bert said with asperity. And all I can tell you is, living or dead, in a job or out, no matter what happens to me, if you will lead that way, you will, and there's nothing else to it. I guess I kept straight before I met you, she came back with a toss of the head. And I kept straight after I met you, which is going some if anybody should ask you. Hot words were on Bert's tongue, but Saxon intervened and brought about peace. She was concerned over the outcome of their marriage. Both were high-strung, both were quick and irritable. And their continual clashes did not augur well for their future. The safety razor was a great achievement for Saxon. Privily she conferred with a clerk she knew in Pierce's hardware store, and made the purchase. On Sunday morning, after breakfast, when Billy was starting to go to the barber shop, she led him into the bedroom, whisked a towel aside, and revealed the razor box, shaving mug, soap, brush, and lather all ready. Billy recoiled, then came back to make curious investigation. He gazed pityingly at the safety razor. Hut. Call that a man's tool. It'll do the work, she said. It does it for thousands of men every day. But Billy shook his head and backed away. You shave 3 times a week, she urged. That's 45 cents. Call it $0.50, and there are 52 weeks in the year. $26 a year just for shaving. Come on, dear, and try it. Lots of men swear by it. He shook his head mutinously, and the cloudy deeps of his eyes grew more cloudy. She loved that sullen handsomeness that made him look so boyish, and, laughing and kissing him, she forced him into a chair, got off his coat and unbuttoned shirt and undershirt, and turned them in. Threatening him with, if you open your mouth, took a Kyle shove it in, she coated his face with lather. Wait a minute, she checked him, as he reached desperately for the razor. I've been watching the barbers from the sidewalk. This is what they do after the lather is on. And thereupon she proceeded to rub the lather in with her fingers. There, she said, when she had coated his face a second time. You're ready to begin. Only remember, I'm not always going to do this for you. I'm just breaking you in, you see. With great outward show of rebellion, half genuine, half facetious, he made several tentative scrapes with the razor. He winced violently, and violently exclaimed, "Holy jumping Jesus!" He examined his face in the glass, and a streak of blood showed in the midst of the leather. "Cut by a safety razor, by God. Sure, men swear by it. Can't blame him. Cut by a safety." "But wait a second," Saxon pleaded. "They have to be regulated. The clerk told me. See those little screws? There. That's it, turn them around." Again Billy applied the blade to his face. After a couple of scrapes, Billy looked at himself closely in the mirror, grinned, and went on shaving. With swiftness and dexterity he scraped his face clean of lather. Saxon clapped her hands. "Fine," Billy approved. "Great. Here. Give me your hand. See what a good job it made." He started to rub her hand against his cheek. Saxon jerked away with a little cry of disappointment, then examined him closely. "It hasn't shaved at all," she said. "It's a fake, that's what it is. It cuts the hide, but not the hair. Me for the barber." But Saxon was persistent. "You haven't given it a fair trial yet. It was regulated too much. Let me try my hand at it. There, that's it, but wick stand between. Now, lather again, and try it." This time the unmistakable sandpapery sound of hair severe and could he heard. "How is it?" she fluttered anxiously. "It gets the bouch hair," Billy grunted, frowning, and making faces. "But it, Jesus, ouch, pulls like Sam Hill." "Stay with it," she encouraged. "Don't give up the ship, big engine, with a scalp pluck. Remember what Bert says, and be the last of the Mohicans." At the end of 15 minutes he rinsed his face and dried it, sighing with relief. "It's a shave, in a fashion, Saxon, but I can't say I'm stuck on it. It takes out the nerve. I'm as weak as a cat." He groaned with sudden discovery of fresh misfortune. "What's the matter now?" she asked. "The back of my neck. How can I shave the back of my neck? I'll have to pay a barber to do it." Saxon's consternation was tragic, but it only lasted a moment. She took the brush in her hand. "Sit down, Billy." "What, you?" he demanded indignantly. "Yes, me. If any barber is good enough to shave your neck, and then I am, too." Billy moaned and groaned in the abjectness of humility and surrender, and let her have her way. "There, and a good job," she informed him when she had finished. "As easy as falling off a log. And besides, it means $26 a year. And you'll buy the crib, the baby buggy, the pinning blankets, and lots of things with it. Now sit still a minute longer." She rinsed and dried the back of his neck and dusted it with talcum powder. "You're as sweet as a clean little baby, Billy boy." The unexpected and lingering impact of her lips on the back of his neck made him writhe with mingled feelings not all unpleasant. 2 days later, though vowing in the intervening time to have nothing further to do with the instrument of the devil, he permitted Saxon to assist him to a second shave. This time it went easier. "It ain't so bad," he admitted. "I'm getting the hang of it. It's all in the regulating. You can shave as close as you want and no more close than you want. Barbers can't do that. Every once in a while they get my face sore." The third shave was an unqualified success, and the culminating bliss was reached when Saxon presented him with a bottle of witch hazel. After that he began active proselyting. He could not wait a visit from Bert, but carried the paraphernalia to the latter's house to demonstrate. "We've been boobs all these years, Bert, running the chances of barbers at Chan everything. Look at this, eh? See her take hold. Smooth as silk. Just as easy. There. 6 minutes by the clock. Can you beat it? When I get my hand in, I can't do it in 3. It works in the dark. It works underwater. You couldn't cut yourself if you tried. And it saves $26 a year. Saxon figured it out, and she's a wonder, I tell you.